This is the Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
Hey, Margaret Gray joins us. Margaret is the nationally syndicated columnist who has celebration ideas for the Christmas season. I read this morning, Margaret, in your column that you have some pretty unique ideas.
Well, we do. We have an awful lot going into the column. But before I get into that, because I've got some recipes, I've got some great party ideas, before I get into that, I wanted to sort of share my disappointment. And I don't want you to think that I'm not in the Christmas spirit, but I'm a little disappointed. I guess what I want to say, Phil, is I'm a little disappointed that people cannot be more original in their Christmas decorating.
In terms of the originality, how?
I'll give you an example, and this really goes to the heart of the matter, and I hope that everyone listening right now will pay attention, because it's so very important to understand that when we decorate at the holidays, we try to maintain some semblance of uniqueness. A few years back, I was looking at an old Christmas wreath in the garage at our home that I used to hang on our front door. And then at that, almost at that same moment, I looked at our Lincoln Navigator, which we had in the garage, and I said to my husband, Frank, I said, you know what I'm going to do? Do you know what would be fun? I think I'm going to hang that wreath on the front grill of the Navigator. And, of course, you know Frank, Phil. He said, oh, Bobby, my God, you're crazy, but I guess that's why, you know, I married you, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But you know what? I did it anyway. I went ahead and did it anyway. I hung the Christmas wreath on the grill of our Navigator, and I was the first person to sort of step outside the box, I guess, when it comes to Christmas decorating. Now, tell me,
Margaret, I don't mean to interrupt you.
Sure.
How does this go to the issue of originality?
Well, here's how it goes. I'm the first person to hang a Christmas wreath from the grill of my car. Now, everyone out there does the same thing. Christmas wreaths used to be hung from front doors. But I'm going to ask you a question, Phil.
Well, you're right. I mean, I do see a lot of people with wreaths on the grills of their car. In fact, I saw one today, someone with a wreath on the grill of their car.
Well, because I decided that being in California, the land of the automobile, I would step outside the box, which is really what I've done my entire life. I guess it's a blessing and a curse. But I said, you know what, I'm going to put that wreath on the grill of the car. What's happened since then, Phil, is a little disappointing. Instead of coming up with their own ideas, what do you see? You see people have started copying my idea. They're putting the wreath.
So the idea of the Christmas wreath on the grill of the car really originated with you. I mean, I've seen it.
Absolutely. It started with, I saw the wreath, I saw my car, and I said, you know what would be a lot of fun? And I could see Frank rolling his eyes and getting that look like, oh my God, here we go again. I said, I'm going to put the wreath on the grill of that car. And you know what? He said to me, Margaret, you're going to make a spectacle out of yourself, but darling, that is so much why I love you. Go ahead, put the wreath on the car. And you know, I'll give you another example, Phil.
So you put the wreath on the car. How do you think it's spread to so many people? And more to the point, Margaret, why do you resent that?
Why do I resent that?
Yeah, why do you resent if you invented hanging a wreath from the grill of the car, why do you resent other people copying it?
Phil, I'll tell you something, and I don't want to be overly dramatic, but when you create something that is stolen from you, you're not a woman, Phil, and you don't know this feeling, but to be pressed to, I don't really want to be dramatic, but to be pressed to a cold cement garage floor and have your skirt pushed up above your hips by a stranger.
Are you talking about a sexual assault here? Are you,
Phil? I am saying it's the same as a rape. You've been raped. In other words, you haven't been raped physically, but you are being repeatedly raped emotionally and creatively. That, more than anything else, is what disappoints me.
All right, we're talking with Margaret Gray. She is the nationally syndicated columnist. Margaret, a few years back, you hung a Christmas wreath from the grill of your Navigator, and now you see everybody doing the same thing. People hanging Christmas wreaths from their cars, you feel this idea has been stolen from you, and you've compared it to being raped.
Well, the incredible credulity in your voice, Phil. I can hear that.
Well, it's a very violent image.
It is a violent image, but you could ask any woman out there, when you create something, when you do something really original, and my God, I do it all the time in decorating and in entertaining, then here comes one of my girlfriends. Here comes a friend of a friend of a friend spitting my own ideas back into my face. I really just, I say to them, thank you very much for shoving my skirt above my hips, pulling my pantyhose down.
All right, Margaret, I understand that you're comparing this to a vicious assault. Graphically, though, I think it could scare some people.
I understand.
So I don't want to get into the descriptions of it, but I want to give her phone number out here, 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. Margaret Gray, nationally syndicated columnist. You created this idea of putting a Christmas wreath on the grill of the car. Did people give you credit for this?
Well, why do you ask that question?
Well, I mean, I'm sure that there's bound to be someone who's going to call and say, I did it.
No. So I was the first one to do that. I'll give you an idea. There was a time, actually, when I was the only one who would put the wreath on the grill of my car. And everybody else, when you do something different, the first thing they do is they go, oh, God, look at her. Oh, God, look at her. And I was having my car valeted over at Maestro's in Beverly Hills, the steakhouse.
Right.
And when I asked them to bring my car around, the one with the wreath, you could see the flash of recognition and appreciation in the eyes of the valets. I thought it was so cute. It's so precious the way those boys look at you. And it was an acknowledgement of, hey, you know, it's really, really nice to see some original thinking. And that's what went into that.
And you are disappointed now that this idea of hanging a Christmas wreath, not on the front door, but on the grill of your car, has been picked up by so many people.
It's disappointing that people are really... God, how do I say this? I don't want to get in trouble, but people are really like leeches, just attaching themselves to you and sucking every bit of originality that you have out of you because they simply don't have any ideas of their own. They're lazy, they're frightened. It could be a combination of those things. Some of these other mothers who are hanging wreaths on the grills of their cars, I would hasten to warn you that when your children look at that wreath that you're hanging from the grill of your car, are they aware that you are essentially stealing someone else's creativity? Are your children aware of the fact that in point of fact you're lying to them when they think maybe you thought of it?
Well, let's give it a third option, though.
All right, what?
The third option is, hey, I'm going to hang a wreath on my car because I saw this lady do it one time, you know.
Well, unless they're giving me credit by name, then it's not really giving me... A lady did it one time is almost... It's almost like you didn't initiate the rape, but now that it's happening, you're getting in line and you're unzipping your...
Okay, look, again, Margaret...
I'm very sorry, Phil.
Yeah, the graphic nature of... The graphic nature of comparing it to a rape, I think, might frighten...
I'm very sorry. It's how I feel. That's all. It's just how I feel.
All right. I understand it's how you feel. Margaret Gray with us. Forgive me, Margaret. I'm going to put it this way. The woman who claims that she invented hanging Christmas wreaths not just from the front door, but from the front of the car. I don't know that there is anything you can really do. Our number, by the way, 1-800-449-8686. I don't know that there's anything you can do about it, but we'll get back into talking about that in just a moment with Margaret Gray. Originality, she says, because she invented hanging a Christmas wreath from the front of the car, now that everyone's copying it, she has used the metaphor, she feels as if she's being repeatedly raped on a garage floor someplace. And I think this is just my opinion, I'm not a woman, but I think that's an overstatement, and perhaps there are some women out there that might agree with me. But what do you think about that whole idea of a woman such as Margaret coming up with this original holiday idea, and then everybody just comes right along and copies it because they don't have any originality themselves? 1-800-449-8686. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Out of Bounds. Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
All right, we're on the air. Margaret Gray is with us, and she's talking about inventing. If you've seen Christmas wreaths hanging from the grill of a car, Margaret Gray is the one who invented that several years ago, and she is saying basically that she's been ripped off. People have stolen the idea. And you'd like people to be a little more original.
I absolutely would, Phil. I think it's especially the women who can't seem to... You know, you look at a lot of these women nowadays with their Louis Vuitton bags and their bomber jackets, and you just want to say, oh, my sweet Christ, when are you going to think of something different? When are you ladies going to start to do something that you thought of yourself instead of waiting around for your friends to do it first?
I don't know, the Louis Vuitton bag.
Oh, that's what everyone's doing.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Sylvia, go ahead.
Margaret, are you all right mentally?
Well, you have something I'm not going to answer that stupid question. Do you have something that you wanted to ask me or not?
Yes. How do you know even that you're the first one that did this?
First of all, I had never seen it before until I did it. Then, within, I'd say, 6 months...
I'm saying, how do you know you're the first person that did this?
Because no one else had done it. Because no one else had done it.
Why would you compare it to being raped?
Because I thought of something that was entirely my own and it was stolen from me. And if you
deal with it. So what? Big deal.
Okay, you were raped. Deal with it. So what? Big deal.
Being raped?
Okay, yes.
You know what? You really need to get some help.
Well, what are you talking about?
And you make
about?
Women look like insane. This is a men's talk show, and they're starting to think, look at women, they're loony.
Listen, what do you mean a men's talk show? I don't understand.
You know, just think about
Let
it.
Let me explain
one
something to you, okay?
Okay, well,
I am saying that when someone...
Idea.
Of course, Sylvia, you've never had an original idea in your life, so how would you know?
Well, of course not, because you know me.
What have you thought of that everybody started to do, too?
Well, I walk around with a wreath on my head. How you like that?
Yeah, I believe you do.
Oh, there we go.
Turn your radio down, Sylvia, or we're hanging up, okay? We told you to turn it down.
God, you're really pushy, aren't you?
No, it's just that we need people to turn the radio down. You there?
Yes, I'm there.
Okay.
You know, my only comment is, you know, don't compare it to being raped.
I don't see the difference. When someone steals
Well, you know what? I don't have nothing else to say to you.
Well,
bye.
Good. Okay, fine. Go ahead. Have one of your ideas stolen from you, and by God, you'll know what it is to be pushed to a garage floor.
1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show. We're talking with Margaret Gray about this idea that you hung the wreath of a Christmas wreath, you hung it on the front door or the front grill of your house.
No, it was hung on the front door. We put it on the grill.
All right. What is this thing about women with no originality?
Well, most of the people that steal these ideas are females, and they do this as the result of not having original thinking. That's why I do the column that I do. And I can tell you this, Phil. When you look at all of the women out there who are wearing their bomber jackets, their Louis Vuitton bags, their elevated sandals, and their open toed heels, I can tell you this much. Females are the ones more than anything else that steal. And so if I'm being raped, I'm really being raped by other women.
So the women are taking this idea of stealing the Christmas tree wreath that's hung on the grill of the car and stealing it.
Just a lot of people, and I think it's led mostly by the women.
All right, 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. You know, people, you say, steal your originality, and you say that people are about leeching off of other people. I'd like to find out in a second how you're dressed, if you see the women are...
Oh, I'd be very happy to tell you.
Well, if you see that women are unoriginal. John, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hi.
Hi.
Margaret. Is Margaret there?
What are
Hello?
You stupid? I was just talking, yes.
Okay. When did you hang this wreath on the front of a grill on your truck?
As soon as I saw it in the garage.
Yeah, what year was this?
You know something? If you think you did it before me, you didn't. Because I never saw a car with a wreath hanging on the grill before me.
Well, hold on a second. I lived in Allentown, Pennsylvania, and in 1988, I bought
well, it was
a brand
before
new
that.
Dodge
it
pickup
was,
truck.
It was well before 1988. It was before Jason was born.
And who's Jason?
He's my son, so it looks like you're out of luck. Anything else?
Well, the thing is that, you know what?
What's that?
Wait a minute. So you hung a wreath on the front of your car in 1988?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure mine was before that. So I guess you really need to.
She just said she did it a couple of years ago.
No, I didn't say that.
because back in 1988, when
you hung it on the front of your Dodge when you bought a brand new pickup truck, yeah.
Well, let the man tell the story.
And I make wreaths, Christmas wreaths myself.
That's
original.
And
I decided to hang one on the front of my truck, and in fact, I even took little lights that were battery operated and put them on it.
Right,
and that was back in 1988.
I did it before 1988.
Well, how do you know you did it before 1988? He knows specifically because he knows the make and model of his car.
Because I was the first.
Well, how do you know you were the first?
Because no one else did it other than me. That's the point. That's the point that I'm trying to make. And to argue this, Phil, is so ignorant. It really is. The point of what I'm saying is this. If you see someone who has a great idea, don't steal it. Try to come up with something else, ladies.
Let me ask you about how you're dressed. You know, you say that women are wearing the Louis Vuitton bags and the bomber jackets. How are you dressed?
Phil, I dress original. I don't go along with the crowd. I dress original.
Well, what are you wearing right now?
What am I wearing right now? I go my own way.
Well, describe what you're wearing.
All right, right now I have on, it's my look, okay? I've got on a pair of white tennis shoes with white ankle socks. I have a pair of khaki-colored fatigue-style military shorts. I've got a little cute halter top on. I've got a pair of hanging sapphire earrings and some pink gloss lipstick. And to set the whole look off, I've got a Lion King backpack, which is kind of a sexy innocence because of how unique I am. So I get a lot of men, especially younger men, giving me a second look, and it's exciting.
All right, can I ask you a question? I don't know whether that's good-looking or not, or...
A lot of younger men give me a second look.
All right, you're wearing white sneakers with white socks, Lion King backpack, and glossy lipstick.
And I can tell the ladies out there right now, if you steal my ideas, especially the look that I was just describing to Mr. Hendry, have the bloody decency to thank me. I'd really appreciate that.
Well, you know what, Margaret? I don't know that anybody's going to thank you for your Christmas wreath idea.
I know that, Phil. I've been raped repeatedly, so...
All right. But I can tell you this much. A lot of people are going to continue to steal the idea.
Then I'm continuing to bleed from...
All right, that's fine. I don't like that whole... God!
Finally.
Okay! Margaret Gray, who claims she invented the idea of putting a Christmas wreath on the grill... of her car, and since then everybody has stolen the idea. Our number 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. I have to tell you, I got to jump in here right now because I haven't told you, but on December the 23rd, the same day that we're going to be at Dave and Buster's from 9 p.m. to 11 p.m., the same day that we're going to do our Dumbass of the Year Awards from the Kodak Theater, I want you to know that on December the 23rd, we are also going to be... what was I going to say? Oh, we're doing our webcast. Yes, on the 23rd, we're going to be doing a webcast. It's the Dumbass of the Year Awards live from the Kodak Theater and a webcast. So to see the webcast, you must have a backstage pass. You will actually see the Phil Hendry Show as it's performed. If you have a backstage pass for $6.95 and you get online and take a look at our show on the 23rd, okay? So this is an annual webcast that we do. And, you know, we did it last year. This technology we're going to use this year is just a straight-on camera. So I think the clarity is going to be much, much better. We did use a 360 camera the last couple of years. This year we're going to use a straight-on camera. The audio is going to be better. You're going to be able to see the show as it's executed. So get a backstage pass at www.philhendryshow.com. Check out our Dumbass of the Year Awards on the 23rd. And check them out via our webcast on our PhilCam.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Taking talk radio to the next level. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Margaret Gray is with us, a nationally syndicated columnist who has come on a program today to say that she invented hanging a Christmas wreath on the grill of her car. We're talking with her about that on the radio program. When did you first come out to California?
I was out here very early in the late 1960s, early 1970s, about 1968. And I had auditioned for Big Valley, for the part of Audra. And Linda Evans got the part. And to this day, I really admire the gall and the guts that woman had to get the part the way she did.
What did she do?
I don't really want to talk about it. But I can tell you right now, the producers liked me. But still, I came out here with an awful lot of ideas and originality. And when I was a young actress, I would sit in my dressing room and I would sing a little song that I wrote. And it goes a little something like this. Because of the creativity that I have, I think that's why they loved me. It goes something like this, Phil. 1, 2, I have to count it down if you don't mind.
Go ahead.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9.
Will you just sing the song, please?
I'll be home for Christmas. You can plan on me.
You say you wrote this song?
Excuse me. I'm singing.
No, but did you say...
I'm singing.
I'm sorry.
Now I have to start all over again. 1, 2, 3, 1, 2. I've got to get into the rhythm here, Phil. 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11.
What are you going to count up to, 100?
I have to count up to 20. God, GDU, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20. I'll be home for Christmas. You can plan on me. Please have snow and mistletoe and presents on the tree.
Okay. Sorry, baby, that just ain't gonna make it, okay?
Well, that's how I did it. I used to do that.
Yeah, that's good. 1-800-449-8686. By the way, thanks to the brain surgeon who called from Toronto and said, hey, this is a show for men. Why didn't you get that chick off of there? Way to figure it out there, Sherlock. 1-800-449-8686. You know, yesterday we had, or the day before, we had Bob Green on, and...
You can count on me. I'll have...
I don't want to hear the song anymore, okay?
Screw you.
God!
Whoa, I'll be home for Christmas.
1-800-449-8686. Bob Green was on our show, and Bob was talking with us about a checker that he had to fire. Her name, Carol Markham. She'd asked for a Christmas bonus. She wanted to know why the other workers there at the grocery store that Bob manages didn't get Christmas bonuses as well. He said, okay, Carol, you're going to get a Christmas bonus. And one fine day last week, he assembled the workers and said, here's your Christmas bonus. We captured Saddam Hussein. Thank you and good night. Well, she personally was so disappointed. While talking to another worker in the lunchroom that day, she called Bob a cheap, bald-headed mother effer. Bob fired her. Let's listen to why.
Bill Hendry Show. Comedy Gold.
First of all, I think a lot of this has gotten way off the subject. At this point, it's now on autism, which really has nothing to do with this. Nobody can go to their job and refer to their employer while they're on the clock, whether it's for everybody to hear or just for one person as a private conversation. If the boss hears it, you got caught. And it sounds like Carol got caught bad-mouthing the boss. He's paying her to work for him, not bad-mouthing. So she got caught and she got fired, and she said
Carol?
That.
Carol?
I don't deny I said what I said. I'm really sorry that I indicated, you know, the things I said, but do you... I forgot the lady's name I'm speaking with.
This Leanne?
Do you think that when I said we're entitled to have a Christmas bonus,
You're not entitled. Nobody is entitled for a Christmas bonus.
I've got a crippled child.
That has nothing to do with it.
Well, you're the first person I've ever heard is most people when I tell
because
them
because you
got,
have a crippled child or a handicapped child does not entitle you to free money. Nobody is entitled to free money.
Well,
and that's, you know what? that is just the way it is. And I'm sorry that your child is handicapped, but that does not entitle you to free money. Where was your handicapped child while you were sleeping with the boss?
Well, he was with me. He was in our home.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like you want some handouts. And unfortunately,
that's not the way it is.
All right, well, let me let Leanne go ahead, Carol.
First of all, when my son was born, and they told me that he was deaf and dumb, or I didn't know what they said. They said he was autistic. And I told everybody, and most people gave us free shirts and bath towels. And now you're saying I'm not entitled to that? Get a load of her. This is why I...
Well, hold on for a minute.
That is not a Christmas bonus. Maybe everybody helped you with some free linens. I think that's what you said.
They gave us bath towels. They gave us shoes.
No, you cannot go to your boss.
Are you a mother?
Let me tell you something.
Are you a mother?
Yes, I'm the mother of
two children. All right,
unless you're sleeping with the boss, you cannot go to your boss.
That's right. Carol, you were sleeping with this man.
Well, first of all,
I know that you felt like you can just go to everybody and say he's a cheap, bald-headed MF-er. Therefore, he probably felt like he could look at you and hold his, you know.
Well, you know something. He's also
hold himself and make that joke to you.
I know you want to
be so upset and say, well, he made a joke about my
son. Well, and I want to jump in, Mr. Henry. This Ms. Markham has had it in for me because when we were dating, her kid wouldn't stop banging on the door while we were.
That is all beside the point.
having relations, I got out of bed and told her I was going to.
All right, I lost the connection there. Are you guys there?
I'm right here.
Go ahead.
He said he was going to fix my son a sandwich, and instead he
put him in a dog crate.
Okay. Okay. Put him in a dog crate, huh?
That's correct, yes.
You sound like Bobby Dooley's sister.
Well, maybe I am.
Maybe I am.
Bill Henry Show. Comedy Gold.
He also knew that he put the boy in a dog crate because there were slat marks on his head. What is a dog crate? Oh, I forgot. Janice, our producer, is from Canada as well. So she calls it a dog crate. Here we call them pet carriers. A dog crate. Although it's funny. You never heard the word pet carrier? Well, what do you put a dog in a dog crate for if it's not, yeah? When you
crate train a dog, if you have problems with your dog, lots of times they like to live in their own little crate because they feel safe and it's their own little house.
I never knew that.
Yeah.
Honest to God. So you stick them in a crate? Oh, okay.
It's a big crate. It's like
is that something that average people would know everywhere
yes.
who are into dogs?
Yes, right. Yes, I believe so.
I screwed up.
No, you didn't.
All right. Anyway, thank you very much, Janice, for that. And that was a nice one. 1-800-449-8686.
I'll be home for Christmas.
Will you get her out of here once and for all? Just once and for all. Our email address, phs@philhenryshow.com. We're going to have Phil Explains the Bullcrap to Frodo the Puppet today. And a couple of other tidbits in terms of the news. We want to tell you all the stuff that's coming up next week, though. It's going to be a gas before the holidays hit. The Dumbass of the Year Awards, live from the Kodak Theater in Hollywood. And guess what? I kept this information from you because I didn't want people jumping the gun. But as of tomorrow, you'll be able to vote for the Dumbass of the Year in several categories. We have at least 9 or 10 categories that you'll vote for a Dumbass of the Year in. We'll also have our webcast, which means the whole thing will be... videoed on the Wednesday, webcast. We have a camera in the studio, and it'll be our annual webcast, our third annual webcast, so you can actually watch us as we do the show. We'll also, on Christmas, have the Pastor William Renick Christmas Marathon, 6 hours of Pastor Renick on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, and you can listen for such Pastor William Renick classics as Werewolf, Catapult Jesus, and Renick as the baby Jesus in the Nativity scene. The R.C. Collins New Year's Day Marathon as well. 6 hours of R.C. Collins on New Year's Eve and New Year's Day. Listen for these R.C. classics, Virgin Check, Tiger Woods is Part Chinese, and I'm Ready to Eat My Own Guts. Those three classics coming up on the Tiger Woods is Part Chinese. So this is like an hour of talk radio, huh? Is that the hour where he said, I don't know whether you know this or not, but, oh, no, that's R.C. Collins, right? Yeah, I like the one with Vernon Dozier. He said, I don't know if you know this or not, but that woman he married's white. I mean, anybody want to, you know, kind of give me a check on that? All right, that's all coming up this holiday season. And, of course, in addition to that, we are going to be signing our Best of the Phil Henry Show CD on the 23rd from 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. It's going to be at Dave & Buster's at the Block at Orange City, 20 City Boulevard West, from 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. Everybody that shows up will get a free game card worth $5. Our Best of the Year 2003 CD is out, and this is a great way to have it signed, have it autographed and presented to somebody that you like or care for or dislike or don't like for Christmas. And one more thing, and I can't remember what it is, but I think we're covering it. All right, our number is 1-800-449-8686. We'll be right back.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
This is I'm not gonna do this for very long. I just want to mention that Forehead Boy, you know, Matt Drudge is one of these truly unique individuals in the history of American communications. He's well, in a lot of ways, he's like us. He's like the Phil Hendry Radio Show. You know, we kind of pioneered a new way to do talk radio. He's pioneered a whole new way to do the news. He has brought to news reporting the anarchy of the Internet, as you've often heard. Anyway, Matt, the other day, published the book sales figures, which show Forehead Boy lagging behind Hillary Clinton and Al Franken in the nonfiction area. Now, Forehead Boy's the guy who's got that show on Fox. He's got the big, wide forehead, and he's Irish, and he looks like he's pissed off all the time. He looks like his mouth is dry from rage and anger. And he, you know, he's like really not funny, and he thinks he is. You know who I'm talking about, right? He's got a radio show. That's why I'm loath to mention his name. But he's real sick and twisted. He's always doing stuff on child porn and porn this, porn that, kiddie porn. I mean, the guy's got a real serious problem. A serious problem. Cat is just out of control. On top of that, his radio show sucks chimps. And I don't know how anybody could carry that piece of crap. And who is that woman that's on the air with him? Who is that idiot that's on the air with him? And why is that necessary? Can I just say something, just kind of an aside to my fine female listeners, some of you who may be aspiring broadcasters, don't ever settle for being the chick that laughs at everything the lame, unfunny guy says. Don't ever settle for that. You know, all these, there's a lot of women who bust into the business being the weather chick, the news babe. And now let's go to Candy. Hey, Candy, you're looking pretty hot today. Jesus, you know, that's unlistenable. You know, who wants to listen to that crud? Number one, it's like been done. And number two, it ain't funny. So who is that broad, pardon the expression, but who's that broad with Forehead Boy on his show? What is it with you, man? Can't you carry an hour of radio by yourself? What are you, Terry Bradshaw? Terry Bradshaw is something else. Here's a guy, you know, who I like on TV, but he had that radio show. And why am I ripping into Terry Bradshaw? Frankly, because he doesn't like my very good friend Jimmy Kimmel, who, by the way, I call Jimmy a very good friend, but he may still hate my guts. I don't know. But in any event, although Sarah Silverman said that he'd like to have dinner. Now, moving on. Look, here, all I'm saying is this. Bradshaw, you're an idiot. Stick to TV. That show you did, that radio show you did, somebody should have, if it was a horse, man, I would have blown its brains out just to put it out of its misery. If your radio show was a horse, it would have been shot on the backstretch, on sight. Now, Forehead Boy apparently is angry at Matt because his book blows. Nobody wants to read his lame-ass stuff. Everybody's writing a book that does a radio show. When did this start? Oh, my God. Everybody's writing a book. Somebody asked me if I was interested in writing a book. I said, what am I going to write about? Well, I don't know. Everybody's doing a book. I got nothing to say. What? The way things ought to be? How's it hanging today? I think I'll do a coloring book. How about that? Bobby Dooley's Home Remedies? I don't know. What the hell am I going to do? Now it turns out that Hillary Clinton's book and the Al Franken book's very funny. It's very funny stuff. And it's a beautiful little swipe at the whole sort of lame claim by Fox that they're fair and balanced. It's, of course they're not fair, and of course they're not balanced, but then who is, right? And so he, you know, takes a big swipe at that. And so a lawsuit ensued that was promulgated by Fox, in which they claimed that Mr. Franken had appropriated their copyrighted phrase, fair and balanced. Now, the court immediately took the lawsuit, they wiped their asses with it, and they handed it back to Fox and said, nice try, because a guy can legally satirize. Anybody can legally satirize anything. And that was a legitimate satirization, because the book is called Lies and the Lying Liars Who Tell Them, A Fair and Balanced Look at the Right. Well, Fox sued. Now it can be known, the Phil Hendry Show has exclusive information, that that suit was not so much originating with Fox as it was originating with Forehead Boy. He's the guy that pushed it through. He's the guy that wanted the suit because he was bugged that Al Franken had called him out during a talk show someplace and made him look like an ape. Made him look like a monkey. A gibbering, jabbering, vine-swinging, banana-sucking monkey, and he didn't like it. So now we find that not only does he not like Al Franken and wants to sue him, his book, as dull as it is, anybody could have seen this coming, is lagging far behind the sales of Al Franken's book, which is actually a funny, witty little tome about how the whole news business is lame-ass anyway, right? And then there's Hillary Clinton's book, which is about, I don't know, something, Discovering the Man Within. Oh, I'm just joking. I'm kidding around. That's a low blow. That's a low lesbian blow. Hillary Clinton, The Man Within. No, so that's no good. I'm a big fan of Hillary's, sorta, kinda. All right, 1-800-449-8686. Coming up on our show today, Margaret Gray talks about how she was the first one to hang a Christmas wreath from the grill of her Navigator, and now everybody's doing it, and she feels raped. She feels violated. She feels as if she's been pushed to the floor of a garage somewhere. That'll be on our show. Additionally, we'll be looking into the Michael Jackson situation. Maybe some of that stuff's true. And, you know, we said we thought he's innocent. And you know what? Maybe we still think he's innocent. Maybe we still think the thing's politically motivated. Maybe they've got charges. You know, anybody could say anything. We'll take a look at that. Phil explains the bullcrap with Frodo the Puppet. And we'll also have Bob Green rejoining us from the other day to get into his sick, twisted world. 1-800-449-8686, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We'll be right back.
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
The Phil Hendry Show with Phil Hendry. West of the Rockies, dial 1-800-449-8686. East of the Rockies, dial 1-800-449-8686. First-time callers, dial 1-800-449-8686. And the wildcard line is 1-800-449-8686. And now, here's Phil Hendry.
That's right, Phil Hendry, or Bill Hendry for some of our older listeners, or Paul Hendry, if you're almost dead. And welcome to our show this hour on the Phil Hendry Show. We've got Michael Jackson news. Today on our show, we have Margaret Gray talking about how she feels violated when she sees wreaths, Christmas wreaths, hanging from the grill of cars because, after all, she was the first person to do that. Also got a little news about this, you know, this flu bug that everybody's wringing their hands about. Every year it's the same old thing, isn't it? Just, you know, never ends. Cold and flu season, you're going to have to get the shots. And, oh my God, dude, I mean, why don't you tape it? I'll play it back next year and the year after that and the year after that and the year after that. Yeah, but we have a new strain of the... Oh, every year we got a new strain of the virus. Yeah, I know. It's the end of the world, man. It's the end of the world. The viruses are mutating and we're all going to die. That's right. One thing that I always feel I always feel very safe and secure when I hear people predict what's going to happen into the future, because one thing I know that has always been true and has always borne out, the human race couldn't predict its own future if there was $1 million in a pot right in front of them. They couldn't do it. There's not one person on the planet that could accurately predict what will be the state of this country in 10 years if you stuck $1 million in gold bullion right in front of their kisser. That's how bad we are at knowing what the future is going to be about. So when someone says to me, 10 years from now, we'll have viruses that have mutated 50 times over. We won't be able to... Aha! Thank you. I feel better because now I know that won't happen. Remember Y2K? Oh, yeah. That was going to be a real disaster. Where is that guy now that I heard on the John and Ken show who was talking about this book he wrote, Date Rape 2000? Where's that guy? That guy was so full of it, I wanted to come down to the station and smack him. You're going to have computers breaking down, and suddenly there won't be gasoline deliveries because the computers run all of that, and there will be hydroelectric failures. People will be wandering the streets, children without parents, parents without their families, money, lost, nothing, rape, road warrior. You know, I wanted to come down to the radio station and kick that guy right square in the gonadials. Just take a steel-toed boot to the old scrotilia. You want to say, oh, shut up. So now we got this, you know, we got this flu virus thing, and everybody's talking about, oh, you know, you're going to get it with the hand, you're going to get the hand. Look, dude, everybody gets colds. I get colds every year. There's nothing I can do. I got one right now. What am I going to do about that, huh? What, am I not living my life right? Can I also make at this point, I have to, God, you know, I don't want to throw this in right now. I got a special little announcement to make after our first break this hour. No big thing, but I want to mention somebody who was very important to me at one point in my life. I think you might be interested. Okay. Why don't I just do it now? It's no big thing. A number of years ago, I slipped a disc in my back. I don't know if you've ever had a back problem. I've had back pain, and I found a person who was dealing OxyContin, and thank you very much, Rush. No, I'm kidding. What happened was I slipped a disc, and I was in real serious pain, and I went to a chiropractor out in Westlake Village, California, by the name of Gail Olenikova. And Gail was an interesting person. She had settled in California because she'd come out here to run in the 84 Olympics. She was going to be a marathon runner. And if you remember, the 84 Olympics are the first woman's marathon. So Gail was really excited about coming out here and running in the Olympics. And she got into a very serious automobile accident. It ended not only her Olympic dream, as they say, but also ended her career as a runner, as a distance runner. So she turned around and she decided she'd put herself through school and become a chiropractor, which is what she did. And she liked living out in Westlake Village, so she settled there. So I met her in 98, 5 years ago, after I popped this disc in my back. I was in excruciating pain. I had to have help going into her office. I had to have help laying down on the examination table. But she worked with me and helped me back into my car and gave me a back brace. And she even brought a pineapple to my house. She even brought the back brace to my house. I couldn't move. I said, what's with the pineapple? She goes, well, you know, the pineapple's really important because it helps carry away toxins in the body. So there she is with a back brace and a pineapple, and she showed up at my door, and I put on a back brace, and my wife chopped up the pineapple. So basically, I was laying there on the couch in a back brace eating pineapple and watching, I don't know what the hell it was, NASCAR or something. So I went back to Gail for a few more treatments, and if you slip the disc, you guys out there know how serious that is. It's painful, and it can take days. She had me a couple of traction treatments. I was cool. I was good, and it hasn't gone out since. So that's how I met Gail, and I went back to her a number of times, and I referred people to her. And last week, I got the news that she died of breast cancer, and she was very young, and I was very sorry to hear it. And the reason why I'm bringing it up is this. See, let me explain something to some of you guys. I get this guy, like this brain surgeon calls last hour. This is Guy Radio. Let me tell you what Guy Radio is. Guy Radio is anything I want to talk about. That's Guy Radio. And one of the things that we need to know about as guys is this breast cancer deal. Because if you got a woman in your life that you care about, whether it's a wife or a girlfriend or a daughter or something like that, And she comes home one day while you're sitting there sucking on a beer and rubbing yourself through your underwear, and she says, I got a lump in my breast. What are you going to do, Charlie? You going to sit there looking stupid? See, this thing's killing women, this breast cancer thing. And there's a lot of these guys that want to do this political thing. Well, they're not giving a lot of research to prostate cancer. What about, who cares? Look, we're all in this thing together, huh? Like, the women, they're not the enemy necessarily, okay? Especially if it's your wife. So why don't you guys get your heads out of your asses and start, you know what I'm saying? I know you're nice guys and everything, and me too. But we got to kind of figure out some of the stuff that we don't think involves us. It does involve us. You can go to some of these breast cancer walks that they have, and you can see the guys out there walking. They had a wife, they had a sister, they had a mother, they had something. And these guys are out there, they're raising bread for this thing. So this was somebody who was kind of important to me and a lot of people that I know, and she died, and she was young, man. She was like early 40s. Died of breast cancer. So it's no good, it sucks, and you really have to understand something. We got to get a little more educated on this thing. This ain't just something that your wife goes off to once a... how often do you get a mammogram, Janice? Is it like once a year after you're 40? You know, and they go off to this thing. You know what this thing is? I mean, they squish the breast down in some thing. They flatten it. And it's, in other words, it feels like they're being manhandled by you. And I'm kidding. And they got to go through this painful thing, and then they got to figure out whether they got a freaking lump in their breast or not. And if they do, I got big news for you. The best thing that could possibly happen, maybe, is that they excise it or they get a mastectomy, which is they take the whole breast off. The worst thing is you don't have a wife or a girlfriend anymore. She's dead. Dead. So, and maybe it ain't so much the girlfriends, because I know how you guys are. You know, you run through them like underwear, don't you? Yeah, you're a real stud. But if you got a wife who you love, and, you know, you're living your life with her, and down through the years, she's going to get this thing, and the next thing you know, she's got this problem. So look it. Just do yourself a favor and get educated about it. And maybe, give a little bread to finding a cure and all of that stuff. I realize we've been giving millions and millions and millions to trying to find a cure for cancer. We got a National Cancer Institute. In fact, it's a fair question to ask. Look, why should I give any money? Because all the bread we've given, they still haven't found a cure for cancer. So forget I said anything about giving money. Just get educated about it and what it is. I got my own theories, by the way. In fact, I've got a very good theory, and every woman I talk to says, wow, you know, that really makes sense. Well, she doesn't say it like that, but she goes, wow, that really makes sense. Or however she talks. A lot of these women, if you got a girlfriend, you know this is the truth, right? And I know most of the guys listening to me right now don't. Otherwise, why would you be listening to a talk show at night? And anyway, a lot of them are into this health food kick, right? And to women, health food is you don't eat meat. Now, what have we been telling them for years? Come on, honey, take a bite of that meat. And in point of fact, they sometimes refuse. So you have to understand that carbohydrate thing, in my opinion, I think that lends to the breast cancer thing. If you're eating too many, I don't know what it is you're eating. I mean, is it a macaroni and pasta and crap like that? Look at Gail. She was healthy. She was a runner. She was a... There couldn't have been a more healthy person on earth. But I guarantee you one thing, I'll bet you anything, she was a vegetarian. Because they think that's healthy. I think it'll give you cancer so fast your head'll spin. That vegetarian bullcrap. Thick, juicy slabs of steak once a week and force it on her if you have to. You got a woman in your life? Look, you're having a steak tonight. I don't. Oh, no, I don't. I just want a little light white wine and a salmon. No. You're having a steak. We're not even discussing it. I don't want a steak. You're going to have a steak. Do you want breast cancer? Just make her have a steak. I don't give a crap. And all those other eat meat jokes we can save till later. We can just kind of move those jokes to the back. You know, I don't care what, not ribs or any, just a steak. Quit screwing around. A big, thick slab of red meat. Stick it in her mouth. Once a week, and I think we'll be able to save some of these chicks. What do you think? Because I'm telling you right now, I think there's a connection. The healthiest women in the world are getting this breast cancer stuff. That Linda McCartney was a vegetarian. This Gail was a very healthy woman. Some of the healthiest women in the world are getting breast cancer. Now, what the hell is that about? Are you going to try to tell me that it's like super cancer? Like, even if you keep yourself really healthy, you're going to get it? I think it's got a direct tie-in with this carbohydrate kick everybody's on. I just eat carbs. I have soy protein. Yeah, good for you. Take that soy protein and park it. You're going to eat this meat. I don't feel like it. I said eat the meat. And there you go. All right, so that's the speech there, and God bless. 1-800-449-8686. Margaret Gray on the show today to talk about her inventing hanging a Christmas wreath from the grill of her car. Now, everybody does it at Christmas time, and she's upset. Also, Phil explains the bullcrap with Frodo the Puppet. Our email address, phs@philhenryshow.com. I got a couple of letters I didn't read from our mailbag yesterday. Do we have another mailbag, perchance, Janice? All right, so we can get to those as well. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. And now more on the Phil Hendry Show.
Malvo's guilty, so's Muhammad. We'll talk about that in a second. Also, I don't understand how Forehead Boy doesn't get the crap sued out of him by Matt Drudge because he accused Matt of smoking crack. And why you don't sue that guy until he bleeds from every hole, Matt, is beyond me. I know you don't need the money, but just the satisfaction of it would be something to behold. But anyway, I got off on that whole thing. I wanted to say that, I got this cold, and look, when I first got married, I moved in not only with a woman, I moved in with four kids. You want to get sick? Do you want to get sick for a long time? Do you want to get sick until you can't see straight? Move in with a woman and four kids right off the bat. Every disease known to mortal man, kids carry. Now, I'm not saying there's nothing wrong with kids, but the fact is, they go to school. I mean, I was a relatively healthy guy. I met Maria. In fact, that year that I met her, I hadn't had a cold or anything. That was pretty cool. Oh, my God. The year that when we got married and I moved in, I puked. I coughed. I sneezed. Diarrhea. Everything that out of any hole in the body, it came out. Ears were draining. Noses were draining. I got the flu, the stomach flu. Everything. And I'll never forget, in fact, I was shopping for, some groceries or something. Man, I was sick. I was ready to puke. So forget this. I'm going to leave all the stuff here in the supermarket. And I got home, and as soon as I walked through the door, what are the kids cooking? Chicken rice-a-roni. Now, I don't know about you, but there ain't too many things in this world to smell of going to make me just chirp. And I mean spew in a magnificent manner. And when I hit the door and that chicken rice-a-roni hit my nostrils, I was like, yeah, that's what I needed. Thank you very much. Into the bathroom I go, take a nice firm hug on the porcelain, and go, raw. Talking to Ralph on the big white phone, baby. That's what I was doing. Oh, God. And then all that winter, cold after cold after cold, sick after sick after sick. I can't believe it. I mean, it's honest to God. So the kids are like little germ magnets. They go off to school. You remember when you were in school and there was always some kid that had like a wild-looking sore on his mouth? What is that?
My mom says I'm not supposed to touch my crotch anymore.
Jesus. What is that, man?
Impetigo.
Remember impetigo every kid had that? What is that? It's like a jock itch of the face? Some whack thing. Then some kids had come to school with mange, ringworm. That was another one. All these diseases, these guys, I never had any of this stuff. It's like I'd walk to school as a kid in utter fear and loathing because I know I'd be walking into a freaking cancer ward every day. I'm walking to the, what the hell is that? You'll get it someday. That's the other thing, the kids would convince you that it's only a matter of time before you get what they got, right? It's called ringworm. Do you breathe? Yeah, I breathe every day. You'll get it. Ringworm? You ever seen that? Ringworm? What is that? I never got ringworm. And how about this one? The mystery of mysteries. I never got it as a kid, but for some reason, my kids have had it, Every kid that I was going to school had it. It's the world-famous head lice. Yeah, let's bring out head lice. All right. What do you mean, head lice? Where the hell are you got to be to get that stuff? Rolling around in the dirt? I don't know. You got to be Catholic?
Billy Jones is home, and he has head lice, so we need...
Jesus, it's,
Well, watch your language, Mr. Henry. Philip?
Well, I'm sorry, Mrs. Brown, but what do you mean head lice?
He has head lice, little things living in his head. That's why I want you to go home, scrub your scalp with this detoxifying, poison-removing shampoo, and I don't have any head lice. Don't talk back to me. I'm not talking back to you. What do you mean head lice? Are you talking about maggots that, like, live in my hair? Yes, of course.
Yes, of course? I shower every day. How could I keep head lice in there?
Do you think you're better than all of the other children in school?
No, ma'am. No, I don't. I just don't. I don't have any head lice. Good God, all freaking mighty. And my kid's got head lice.
Wash yourself in tomato juice, Mr. Henry. Go home. Here's a prescription for your mother.
Excuse me?
I said you're going to go home, and you're going to wash yourself in tomato juice. Here's the prescription.
I'm going to wash myself in tomato juice. First of all, how many cans of that stuff do I have to buy to get a good bathtub full? Secondly, huh? Wash myself in tomato juice?
That's right. It's a toxin. The lice don't like it. They recoil from it. Oh, my God. What are we talking about?
Individual living things in my hair. So anyway, my kid's got this. And this is a good one. Marie and I were trying to get out of town for just maybe 3-4 days. And we got the kids there with a babysitter. Get a load of this. This ever happened to you? So the kids are with a babysitter for about 3-4 days. And my daughter is talking. She's a very small, innocent little thing. And the babysitter's combing her hair. And my daughter goes, "Yeah, last year I had head lice." And the babysitter suddenly, does this freak out and runs home to her father. And he calls my wife and says, "I'm sorry, but my daughter..." And this, by the way, this girl was not underage. She was an adult, technically an adult woman, like 19 or 20. And the father calls, and the next thing you know, the babysitter is leaving. And we better get down there, come back down from the beach where we were staying, and get all these kids and get them the hell out of there, because my kid ain't staying there with your head lice-ridden daughter. Which, she didn't have this. She'd gotten rid of it. But it's too late now, man. So we go down there. I am really angry, and my wife is pissed, and she's talking to this babysitter like she's a piece of crap. And the kids are all crying, and we pour them into this van, and and then I go, "Wait a minute, what am I getting in a van with a kid with head lice? She doesn't have any, remember?" Oh, I'm sorry. My advice: you move in with a woman and some kids, stay away from those kids for the first year, okay? Just stay with your wife. Kind of surprise the kids that you're the new stepdad. Hi! Been your stepdad for a year now. Coming up, Phil explains the bullcrap to Frodo the Puppet on The Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show is back.
And now it's time for Phil Explains the Bullcrap with Frodo the Puppet. This is the part of the show where life's tricky little questions, the anomalies of life, are discussed with Frodo and the very, very sensible and informative Phil Henry. Well, Frodo, have you got a question for me today?
Yes, Mr. Henry, I do have a question. Some days I wish I was a human, like real little boys, instead of being a puppet.
Well, I know how you feel, Frodo, but you'll always be a special guy to me.
Mr. Henry, sometimes when I'm laying asleep at night, I ask myself questions like, do you suppose somewhere in the world right now, someone's firing a gun?
Unfortunately, Frodo, yeah, I think somewhere in the world right now.
I mean, just anywhere in the world. Is there somebody firing a gun?
Probably more than one person firing a gun.
So you think that's pretty commonplace?
Yeah, I do, Frodo, I do.
Well, Mr. Henry?
Yes, Frodo?
Do you think somewhere in the world right now someone's washing a car?
Yeah, yeah, I think somewhere in the world right now someone's washing a car.
So you think that's pretty commonplace too, huh?
Yes, I do.
Well, Mr. Henry, do you think somewhere in the world right now someone's sticking a ballpoint pen up their own butt? Well?
You mean somewhere in the world someone's sticking a ballpoint pen up their own butt?
Well, yes, sir. You said it's pretty commonplace.
Well, I didn't say that was commonplace. Firing a gun, yeah. Washing a car, yeah. What do you mean sticking a ballpoint pen up their own butt? Why is that commonplace?
I was doing it last night.
Well, just because you're doing... What, to yourself?
Yes, sir. Well, actually, somebody was doing it to me.
What does that mean?
Well, I'm a puppet. The guy had his hand up my...
Okay, I understand.
He happened to be holding a ballpoint pen.
I don't know if somebody's sticking a ballpoint pen up their butt right now. No, I don't think someone's sticking... I don't think someone's doing that. No.
All right, so it's more likely they're firing a gun and washing a car, but not putting a pen up their own butt.
Not a ballpoint pen. No.
Somewhere in the world right now someone's playing a Doris Day record?
No, I don't think somewhere in the world right now someone's playing a Doris Day record, okay?
No, but also with a pen up their butt.
Huh?
I just want to know, do you think that...
What are these questions, man? First you asked me about a gun, I understand that, washing a car.
Do you think somewhere in the world someone's playing a Doris Day record with a pen up their butt?
No, I don't.
Fooled you.
What's this?
This is the Lullaby of Broadway by Doris Day, and I've got a pen up my butt.
Turn it off.
No, I won't. I like the song.
Listen to the lullaby.
Turn it off and take the pen out of your rear end, too.
This has been Phil Explains the Bullcrap with me, Frodo the Puppet.
Ow.
The Dappy Dills who entertain.
Are you?
Bye, everybody.
Okay.
Frodo the Puppet is produced by Chris Pelton in association with Janice and Garrow Productions. I'm Frodo the Puppet. Thanks, everybody. See you next week.
Okay, so...
And also, I'd like to thank...
Get out of here! Somewhere in the world, someone's listening to a Doris Day record with a big pen up their butt. No, well, I am...
Let's call it a day.
Will you please turn her off? Frodo, you know, with all the bullcrap I'm having to sift through with you, man, I ain't explained anything, okay? You're going to have to explain to me half of your BS. 1-800-449-8686. You're listening to The Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
This is what I get for saying, you know, reporting a story, and I don't know who originated the story. Yesterday, or the day before, actually, I said that Madeleine Albright was in a makeup room at Fox and made the comment that Osama bin Laden, perhaps Osama bin Laden was someplace hidden by the Bush administration, and the Bush administration would break out Osama bin Laden just before the elections to show that he's got him, too. It turns out she was kidding. The way the story was reported, I had no idea. Apparently, she was talking to some guy named Morton Kondracki who didn't understand that it was a joke. This guy thought she was serious. I mean, what will you people put? When you report some freaking news, you want to wait maybe 5 minutes before you throw it on the internet or put it out over a wire? Maybe just 5 minutes before you can check and see what's valid, what isn't, what is the origination of the story, who said it, who didn't say it, who said what. Maybe just 5 minutes. I know, someone's going to scoop you, but as it is, now you look like idiots. Fox looks stupid. This Kondracki looks like a real idiot. Quinn, I feel like a jackass for saying it in the first place. But, I mean, the fact of the matter is, whether she was kidding or not, as I mentioned the other day, there are people who believe that it's just too perfect, that George Bush isn't smart enough, that George Bush is too evil, that George Bush and the entire Bush administration is too inept to find Saddam Hussein. It's just too good. It just means that right when we have the White House in our sights, George Bush comes up with Saddam Hussein, oh, woe is me. Speaking as a Democrat, let me just say this. If Bush had never, never found Saddam Hussein, Democratic Party still has no chance in hell to get elected in 2004 into the White House. Forget it. You want to know why? I'll tell you why. Because our party, the Democratic Party, has been co-opted by some clowns basically representing the Hollywood Democrats and nobody else, and the rest of us, the 80% of us who happen to actually support this Republican, if you want to call it Republican, I call it an American war on terror, we aren't represented by anybody. Nobody. And it's just getting thinner and thinner, and it's getting sadder and sadder as the days go by. And now that Bush found this guy, and I told you, there's no way the guy's going to lose the election 2004. Now that he found Saddam Hussein, forget it. It ain't going to happen in a million years, in a million years. And Howard Dean thinks that he's going to actually stand out if he he's not going to retreat on his original statement, that it's a mistake to be at war in Iraq. He thinks that's going to win him friends. I guess people will admire you for being steadfast in your beliefs, Mr. Dean, but actually nobody really believes that you're steadfast in your beliefs. They think that you're retreating to that point of view out of some kind of a need to appear independent. You're retreating to that point of view because it's, you know, possibly beneficial to you. It ain't beneficial. You just look the same knucklehead you did 3 days ago. Get out of here, all of you. You think Bush has got him hidden away, huh? Yeah, okay. Hey, what was that thing you were asking me about, Janice? You thought it was a conspiracy here about a half hour ago, remember? You weren't believing. What was it? Who? Oh, Tom Cruise and Nicole Kidman. And I said at the time, how is it a woman can bond so strongly with a man unless he is having intimate relations with her? I mean, she said, today it's reported, Nicole Kidman said, I was devastated so much by our divorce that I contemplated getting out of the business. I could barely get out of bed. And I'm thinking, boy, that sounds like a woman who is truly in love. Now, forgive me, but I don't think a woman bonds like that with a man unless they've actually had sexual relations. Which doesn't that put to rest some idea that Tom Cruise is strictly a homosexual? Perhaps he's a bisexual. Janice doesn't buy it. She thinks it's all a big put-on. She thinks Nicole Kidman's pretending she loved him because it makes her look good and whatever else you were saying. Good God, woman. You don't trust anybody, do you? You know, sometimes it just isn't a conspiracy, don't you? Like, I'll give you the example of that guy, and I used the example a few months ago. There was a man who went missing. He was a writer who was on his way home to Los Angeles. Remember the story that I told? And suddenly, he doesn't show up at his home in Santa Monica. His wife had been talking to him via cell phone the night before. The phone call came in at about 2 a.m. He was on his way, driving straight through from Texas to California. He would be home sometime midday that day. Called her, talking to her somewhere in Arizona, New Mexico, okay? The day arrives, he doesn't show up. Now, where do we automatically go as human beings? Where do we automatically go as the human race? A conspiracy. I mean, I read this story, and they thought he'd been abducted by members of the mafia because he was a screenwriter writing something about organized crime. There were people, yes, that's right, you guessed it, who thought he'd been sucked into a spacecraft. There were people who thought, yep, right again, that he'd gone into some dimensional warp. There were people who, hey, you're reading my mind. That's right. Thought he'd been abducted by midget gypsies. Whatever. But could it have been an accident? Well, why? Why would it be an accident? That can't possibly be. How can a man be in an accident and then not come home? Maybe he got into the accident and they haven't found his body yet. Yeah, but it's 6 months, 8 months, 9 months later? No, Mr. Henry, that doesn't happen. It doesn't happen. A man can't get into an accident and go completely undiscovered. It's got to be a conspiracy. The guy's been sucked into a virtual time warp. The cat's on the Starship Enterprise. He's playing chess with Spock right now. Well, guess what? A man was reading about this story some, I'm telling you, it's about 2 years later. This man is completely, the guy that went missing has been gone for 2 weeks, or 2 years. No one knows what happened to him. The woman, the wife, is. I mean, can you imagine? You don't know where your husband is, right? Maybe he did run off. Maybe he did attempt to change his identity. Well, a guy's reading a story in San Diego, and he decides to retrace the route of this man's car just to see what he can see. He's just a regular average Joe. Just a regular slob like you and me, right? He ain't a cop. He's no brain surgeon newspaper reporter. He ain't no brain surgeon on the TV channel. He's just a guy. And he gets in his car and he retraces the route of this man's trip that night, where he was going and where he had been. And as he drove along, he crossed the California Aqueduct. And he noticed a piece of chain-link fence that guards the aqueduct ripped away. And he gets out of his car, he looks down into the aqueduct, and what do you suppose he sees? He sees the taillights of an automobile. And he alerts authorities, because there's a car in the California aqueduct, and sure enough, they remove the remains of this man who had talked to his wife on the telephone, on a cell phone at 2 a.m., said, "I'll see you the next day, baby," hung up, and quite possibly on his journey homeward, fell asleep at the wheel. The car cracked right on through the chain-link fence and into the California aqueduct, and there he died. It was an accident. It wasn't Martians. There's no Martians. You know, it was just an accident. And maybe we found Saddam Hussein the same way. I mean, it's just, you know, we just found the dude. You know, the cat wasn't, like, gassed. He's a coward. He put his hands up. He wasn't in a closet being held by the U.S. military. He was actually hiding out in the Iraqi countryside. We didn't time it so that Bush could be reelected. It so happens that our special ops were up in that area of Iraq, got information, and boom, discovered him. We know that they were convoying up there because they'd been attacked about 3 weeks, 3 weeks ago. Is that suspicious? We got lucky. You know, they say about luck, man, it's the combination of hard work. It's the intersection of hard work and opportunity. And tell me those guys, and you know something else, and I want to say this, saying that it's somehow a stroke of good luck and saying that somehow Bush got lucky is an insult to every fighting man in Iraq. It really is. It's an insult to every man and woman over there who are really busting ass. I mean, some of these cats over here who are talking about our war in Iraq as if it's a rather drab, kind of this sort of drab drag on what is otherwise a really good time that they're having, and what are we doing over there anyway? There's no appreciation whatsoever for those men and women, which, by the way, can I also mention Joe, who's the guy that sent us the stuff, Janice? Joe Westerfield or Westerbrook? Anyway, Joe has sent us some nice things over the years, and he sent us sent me a bottle of tequila. Joe is with... What are you, Joe? Joe Westerberg. Are you on the USS Horn, man, or are you just using their stationery? What's the story with you, okay? You're frightening me. Joe sends us a lot of sound effects, and he sent us the NASCAR accident updates and stuff like that. Well, he sent a token of appreciation for a couple of years of laughter, as long as he's been listening. A bottle of Tesoro Añejo tequila, which is the finest bloody stuff you're ever going to drink. And then what else did he say? Oh, he sent us USS Horn hats with the scrambled eggs and the whole nine yards. Well, thanks very much, Joe. Is he the webmaster for these guys? That's what I think he is, the webmaster for the SS Horn. But in any event, he sent us these things. It's very nice. And we got a lot of cats that we, as a matter of fact, I heard today from Debbie Petrassi, we ship from our souvenir shop a lot of stuff over to Iraq. Now, the guys are, we have to send it U.S. mail because there ain't no Federal Express or Airborne over to Iraq. But we're sending lots of stuff, and we're very happy to do that. But in any event, I mean, I'm getting sidetracked. The point is, all of this bullcrap about Hussein and the fact that it's a conspiracy, this is an absolute insult to every fighting man and woman over there. Why don't you people who have such a loathing for this guy Bush, who think that nothing good could possibly come out of a man who happens to be a Republican, why don't you guys give it a rest? Would you get back down onto the planet Earth, man? Pull your head out of your ass, which I know is probably a preferred position for you, and smell the roses, baby. Take a little sniff of something sweet for a change. Those guys are over there busting ass. I mean, they are, but they're not just wandering the streets, pointing their guns at rooftops, waiting for somebody to take a pot shot at them, like they're just sitting ducks, like they're the USS sitting ducks. They're not wandering around like one of those bad Nazi movies, you know, on patrol, and the partisans come out and shoot them. And otherwise, they got no real reason to be there. They are doing a very specific job, and that is rooting out all of the scum-sucking terrorists and Ba'ath Party loyalists that ran that country for so long, so the people of Iraq could get a fighting chance of being free. That's one thing. But also so that you and I could be a little bit protected from what, as I've already told you, was about to become the terror battleground of the 21st century, the United States of America. You don't believe me? Ask the FBI. Ask former President Clinton. They all said the same thing. America was going to be the, you know, who's this guy that came out today now saying that 9/11 was preventable?
Why, he did a study on it.
Cats like that, man, ought to be taken out and run over. What do you mean it was preventable and should have been prevented? All this Monday morning quarterback stuff is really tightening my jaws. What are you talking about, man? How is it going to be prevented? You got your study that you already did on it after the fact? I tell you what, if we could have prevented it by taking guys like you and tossing you off of the top of the World Trade Center, well then by God, I'd be all in favor of doing that.
But it could have been prevented, and here's how. President Bush was very
Look, I'm getting a little tired of people, by virtue of the fact that they happen to be a Democrat, which is what I is. They got to be down on this cat. Be fair. Try being fair. You know, you may have some kids in your house, and if you got kids in your house, and you're being partisan, and you're being unfair, and you're being stupid, you know, they're watching every move you're making, and one of these days, oh, thank goodness, they're going to repeat your dumb behavior. Try something different, okay? Try not bagging on Bush every freaking time he opens his mouth, all right? Let's be fair. Let's give the guy credit where credit's due. Otherwise, you don't get any of my tequila, that's for sure.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Here's Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
For the first time, the chairman of the Independent Commission investigating the September 11th attacks is saying publicly 9/11 could have and should have been prevented. Thomas Keene said this is a very important part of history. We got to tell it right. As you read the report, you're going to have a pretty clear idea that what wasn't done and what should have been done. This was not something that had to happen. There are people that, if I was doing the job, would certainly not be in the position they were in at that time because they failed. They simply failed. Yeah, okay. Look, pal, I'm going to tell you something. This guy Keene or whoever, please understand something. It ain't doing any good talking about who screwed up. You understand? Because if you want my opinion, everybody screwed up. Everybody in the human race screwed up that day. Every American screwed up that day. Because if we were all in shock, then that means we weren't expecting it. And if we weren't expecting it, then we're a little brain dead because they said it was going to happen. They said it was going to, they were telling us it was going to happen. Clinton said it was going to happen. You know, Bill Clinton, the hated president who, you know, had that fat girl, who had the fat girl. Yeah, him, that one. He said it was going to happen. What are you talking about if I'd been in charge? There wasn't one guy that was in charge that day that would have done anything different. Now, they fired the guy that ran Logan Airport. All kinds of stuff has been changed since then. But frankly, if you want to get right down to it, if you really want to tell the truth about 9/11 and the impact it's had on this country, it's a good thing that it happened. I'm sorry to have to say it. It's a good thing. And I don't mean it's a good thing that people died. But how else can I look at it, folks? I've seen how our eyes have been opened to a danger that we should have had our eyes open to a long time ago. So what do you mean prevent it? Why would I want to prevent something like that? I don't want kids that not have parents, and I don't want people to lose their children. But 9/11, I was thinking about this when I said, well, if the thing had never happened, if those events had not occurred on that day, that means we would have just kept going on as we were going on. And frankly, I'm going to, You're not going to like this. I kind of like my country better now than I did then. I don't know. I mean, maybe I'm alone in this estimation, but I like my country better today than I did before 9/11. I like the people a little bit more. I got a good nose full of the character of the American people. Yeah, we're still a little stupid on a lot of things, but we're hanging in. And actually, I think we responded to what happened that day in a pretty responsible way. Pretty seriously responsible and smart way. There's the odd bird out there that doesn't know his ass from a hole in the ground, but I think the country has gotten better. I also got an appreciation for this guy Bush. I didn't vote for him. I voted for Gore. And I remember saying on the air before 9/11 happened, I remember saying, this guy Bush is kind of a blur, isn't he? He's just a blur. I don't understand what he is as a president. I don't know what he stands for. A lot of stuff came into focus for me after that about him. I learned to appreciate that guy a little bit. I mean, I got a real eyeball full after 9/11. I got a real nose full about this country, and most of it was good. Most of it was pretty damn good. I got a little bit of an affection going for my country that maybe I didn't have before that. And I know that I ain't alone. I know a lot of people the same way. So you ask me, am I sorry that 9/11 happened? I'm sorry a lot of people died. I can't bring them back. I'll tell you something else, too. I'm not ready to sit here and start pointing the finger of blame at someone. That's the lamest thing if there's one thing we got to get rid of in this country, it's that whole blame game thing that everybody, we got to have a scapegoat, got to find out who screwed up. Fire him, this, that, something else. Nobody screwed up, man. It happened. It just happened. There was no way you were going to prevent it. You want to know why? Because if you tried to install the changes that this knucklehead Keene wants to install before 9/11, people wouldn't have voted for it. The Congress would have said it's a waste of money. They would have said that there's no reason for it. The American Privy probably would have said something along the lines of, why are you wasting your time on all of that stuff, okay? This isn't Europe. This isn't the Middle East. This is America. We're strong. In fact, we're too strong. We're pushing our weight around. We're this, we're that. We're all of that guilt-ridden bullcrap. All that guilty American rhetoric, you know. To find out who failed and why, the commission has navigated a political landmine, according to this article that I'm reading here, threatening a subpoena to gain access to the president's top-secret daily briefs. Aha! It's the president's fault, isn't it? It's not our fault. You know, it's not our fault as the American people because we were just flat dumb before 9/11. No, 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 it's got to be the president's fault. Those documents may shed light on one of the most controversial assertions of the Bush administration, that there was never any thought given to the idea that terrorists might fly an airplane into a building. Ooh, maybe they got a memo somewhere where some guy who's like fifth in command at the State Department said, sir, what if somebody decided to fly a plane into a building, and maybe it was brought up in about a half of a nanosecond, but someone's going to find that in a transcript, and the next thing you know, we'll impeach Bush. And everybody's a brain surgeon, and everybody's got this thing down, and if they were in charge, well, by gum, things would have been different. Yeah, sure, pal. I'm feeling real safe with that thought. Condoleezza Rice said on May 16, 2002, I don't think anyone could have predicted that they would try to use an airplane as a missile, a hijacked airplane as a missile. I'll tell you why she's right. I'll tell you why she's right. The men and the women on board those planes, other than Flight 93, assumed that they were being hijacked and taken somewhere. How do we know this? Because of the cell phone conversations many of those people were having with their loved ones before they were killed. We're going back to Kennedy, I think a couple of them said. So we're just going to sit tight. And then they hear from their relatives on the ground, well, you know what, the people on 93 heard, guess what? What? Well, they crashed a couple of planes in the World Trade Center. So the people on 93 are the only ones who really put it all together and realize, well, there's no landing this plane at Kennedy. They're going to kill us, so we might as well do something about it. Otherwise, we did what we were told to do. Sit down, shut up. They're going to hijack you to Kennedy. Just sit down, be quiet, don't draw attention to yourself, and you'll get out of this thing alive. Well, guess what, baby? It didn't happen, and nobody's stupid for not figuring it out. There's nobody that's to blame. No one made a mistake. There's nobody you're gonna lynch for this one. There's no one you're gonna hang from a tree. Get out of here with your commission, okay? God. How is it possible we have a national security advisor coming out and saying we had no idea they could use planes as weapons when we had FBI records from 1991 stating that this is a possibility, said Kristen Breitweiser, one of four New Jersey widows who lobbied Congress and the president to appoint the commission. Well, hey, Kristen, why didn't you figure it out? You got the FBI records from 1991, and I don't care if you're a widow of somebody on that airplane. You know something? Sometimes the best thing to do if you're the widow or the family member of someone on an airplane or that was crashed into the World Trade Center or some other tragedy is just maybe keep your mouth shut. Just don't say anything. How is it they don't know? Well, they didn't know, okay? Now, if you say the FBI's got records from 91, maybe you should have known. The widows want to know why various government agencies didn't connect the dots before September the 11th, because they're not Miss Cleo, okay? They ain't working the big hotline over there in Jamaica. That's why. They also want to know why Bush doesn't walk on water and why his farts don't smell like daffodils. Well, you got us there, and I think we should appoint a commission as to why President Bush's crap doesn't smell like sweet lilac lavender oil. We got to find out, because I'm telling you right now, there's problems. There's problems if the president takes a dump in the morning and it doesn't smell like a fresh spring day. It doesn't smell like Old Spice, man. Like some of that, what do they call that crap? What's the stuff? The soap? The green soap? Irish Spring. And I like it, too. We've got to appoint a commission as to why the president is not a brain surgeon and second only to Jesus Christ in his ability to divine things. We must know. We must find out. How could the American people aren't stupid. We don't elect stupid presidents, do we? No. We elect brilliant brain surgeon presidents. This guy let us down. He took a crap the other day, and it smells just like crap. What happened? Who went wrong? What could we do about it? These and other questions we'll answer here tonight on Kerlick the Invincible. Asked whether we should at least know if people sitting in the decision-making spots on that critical day are still in those positions, Keen said yes. The answer is yes, and we will. Keen promises major revelations in public testimony beginning next month from top officials in the FBI, CIA, Defense Department, National Security Agency, President Bush, President Clinton. One of the worst things that's happened since 9/11, in my opinion, is the finger-pointing that went on, including the families of those people that died at the World Trade Center with their big problem they got about what kind of memorial is going to be put there. You know, I said before, and I'll say it again, I think there's really something wrong with you. I don't care if you lost somebody at 9/11. I think there's something wrong with you if you assume that someone is intentionally setting out to disrespect the memory of your loved one. You got a real problem with the human race. You know that? Nobody's trying to disrespect anybody. Everybody is trying to hear everybody and do everything for everyone and not offend anyone. And it may be impossible to do. We're just going to give you the heads up on that. We may not be able to make everybody happy. But be assured, as much as you've been brainwashed into thinking there's conspiracies everywhere, that no one's trying to disrespect your loved ones. The American people have a particular fondness for those people who died on September the 11th. We have a particular need to honor them in the right way. So you walking around with a picket sign protesting, what is this, man? Why don't you go sue Al-Qaeda? Jesus! Why don't you jackasses that are doing these commissions, why don't you go over there? What happened to that lawsuit against Saudi Arabia? I want to know. I thought we were going to squeeze those turban wrappers for a nice piece of change. Nothing? Boy, that's sad. I thought we were going to hit them up, touch them up for a few trillion. That's who you ought to be suing. Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia. Al-Qaeda makes up, as it turns out, the people that make up Al-Qaeda are from the major tribes of Saudi Arabia. The government sponsoring terrorists with these telecasts, raising money for suicide bombers. I mean, that's happening on television in Saudi Arabia. Let's sue the crap out of that country until it doesn't exist anymore, and then Al-Qaeda will take over, and then we'll know who our enemy is. We can go in and drop a couple of thermonuclear bombs, wipe them out, and we'll take over. Sounds like a plan to me. Jeez, I wish you had that Doris Day record now. All right, 1-800-449-8686. Don't forget Margaret Gray talking about how she invented hanging a Christmas wreath from the grill of her car, and now people are stealing that idea. Later on the Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Coming up on December the 23rd, our first annual Dumbass of the Year Awards, live from the Kodak Theater in Hollywood, and you'll be able to see it on our webcast. So, by all means, buy our webcast, right? And then, when you see our webcast, after buying it, so you got to get a backstage pass to see it, and you see that we're not actually in the Kodak Theater, but I'm actually here in just the studio, but I'm pretending I'm in the Kodak Theater, then you can sue us for false advertising. You'll lose, but it might be amusing. Just an idea, just a way to kind of maybe squeeze a couple of shekels out of corporate America. Sue for false advertising and really get up our snout on something like that. You remember that guy that got up our nose about something, Janice, and we had to do the whole dance? Was that in Canada or something? Some guy made a real big stink about something. I think we told somebody to take a flying freaking leap on the phone, which we do regularly, and he got his nose bent out of joint. He's all, "You talk mean to me." Yeah, we do. We talk mean to people on our phone sometimes. He wanted free stuff? Well, it wasn't the way we talked to him on the phone? Oh, I know what it was. It was the contest. So we talked to the guy mean on the phone, so then he wanted something free. He wanted us to give him something. Do me a favor, pal. Throw your radio away, okay? If you ever listen to me again and I find out about it, oh, man, I'm going to come up there and personally yell at you. Now, what was the guy that questioned the rules of our contest? Oh, 7 words or less? Oh, for God's sake, what a nitpicker. What was the prize in that? Oh, a CD, wasn't it? The grand prize was a Ted's Hawaii shirt. And all the runner-ups were going to get CDs, and this guy made a big stink, and he went and he told. That's the kind of guy who, when you're a kid, he went and he squeals to mommy and daddy. There you go. That's what they do when they grow up. They go and tell. And what do you do to a kid like that? Well, of course, stick him in a shopping cart, find a very steep hill, and sort of put a little lei around his neck and go, have a nice voyage. Yeah! All the way down that hill, man, into traffic. All right, coming up, we're going to have a Bobby Dooley flashback. Bobby was on a program talking about wanting to be congratulated for capturing Saddam Hussein. Now, why should Bobby be congratulated for capturing Saddam Hussein? Well, because everybody that supported President Bush had a hand in personally capturing Saddam. That's coming up on our show. First, television news. Paris Hilton. By the way, today I went over and recorded a couple of stuff for our animated presentation at Fox. Now, I'm not doing a TV show yet. Just like last year when I was doing the thing for NBC, I would tell you guys, I'm not doing the show yet. We're doing a pilot, what is called a pilot. Then we give it to the people, and they look at it, and they go, does it have all the elements of a successful television program? No. Okay, let's put it on. So they'll look at it, and they'll take notes, and then they'll come back, and they'll say, well, would you change this, and that, otherwise it's hilarious. Okay, we'll make the changes, because that's their money, man, that I'm spending. And we'll see if we get a TV show on the air. Remember, the chances are getting a television show on the air is slim to none. I may be the only guy that does a pilot in television who goes in feeling extremely... I'm not depressed. I think it's a fun process, but I don't have any high hopes I'm going to get a show on the air. You kidding? But I'll tell you this much, and I don't want to knock anybody at NBC. I work with great people at NBC Studio. The network, well... But the guys at Fox were a lot of fun, very nice people. And this has been a blast to work on, because it's going to be an animated, if we get on the air, it'll be an animated show. And it will include, it'll include some really fun stuff. And it does what I do best, which is do voices. I'm not what do you want to stick a camera on my fat ass for? So in any event, I appreciate people that did stick a camera on my fat ass, but... So anyway, and plus, the best part of working at Fox, Someday I may get to meet Paris Hilton. I'm just kidding. Actually, I would like to meet her, but I would have to tell her the truth. Miss Hilton, you understand, of course.
Mm-hmm.
People don't watch your show because they admire you. They think you're an idiot.
What?
They think you're an idiot. You act like an idiot, and you look like an idiot. You're a hot-looking idiot. Jesus, how many times do I have to tell you? I got a camera on you, kind of doing this candid stuff. You look like a bozo. Bo-wo-zo-wo.
I like eggs.
Are you hearing anything that I'm saying? Anything at all? What do you mean you like eggs? I'm telling you, they're watching the show because they think you're an idiot. I-D-I-O-T.
What's that spell?
Anyway, she got the big-time ratings. She kicked President Bush's ass, if you call having 600,000 more viewers than President Bush kicking his ass. This is what I'm talking about. She had 11.9 million viewers, and President Bush, well, man, he was really getting pounded. He only had 11.3 million viewers. But Mark Harmon with Navy NCIS, he really kicked ass. He had a whopping 12 million, which means he had about 700,000 more than the president, 100,000 more than Paris Hilton, and a simple mind, or whatever it's called. Bush can console himself with the knowledge, though, that he was more popular than a Whoopi rerun, which had 7.3 million people watching on NBC. Well, of course it did.
On Moonlight Bay.
Okay. Naturally it did. Miss Hilton, can I explain something to you? When I say email, that means it comes through my computer, okay? It doesn't mean that it's mail that starts with the letter E. All right?
I want some eggs.
Jesus. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Bill Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Well, if you supported the war on terror and you supported President Bush, well, according to Bobby Dooley, by God, you also helped in capturing Saddam Hussein. At least she's taking credit for that, and some people don't see it that way.
Bill Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
First of all, I'd like to know, you know, where the heck do you get the idea that you deserve to get thanks, whereas you didn't do anything? You weren't in the Jeeps. You weren't in the Humvees. You weren't with the soldiers.
I don't know what you're talking about. Are you talking about the capture of Saddam?
I'm talking about where you feel that because you're a homeowners association, that you deserve to get some sort of gratitude because soldiers risked their necks to get Saddam Hussein. You know, I served in the United States Army for almost 10 years, and not once did I ever ask for a thank you. I was doing my job, just like those fine soldiers over there in Iraq. They were doing their job. They're the ones that deserve the gratitude, not you, because you told somebody that you sold a house to, oh, Bush is going to catch them. Oh, no, they're not. And now that he did, how do you get a thank you out of that? How do you get a card in your mailbox? How do you get a letter of thanks? What do you want, a presidential commendation? Because you sat there and said, I'm right. You're wrong, and because you're a Canadian, you need to go back to Canada because I'm right.
That's very well said, Joe. Bobby, your response?
You know something, I think it's interesting when two men get together how they want to gang up on a woman. I think that
This isn't about ganging up on you. The man's asked a very good question.
The answer to the question, I think, should be obvious to this man. You say you're a veteran of the Army?
I most certainly am. I'm a proud veteran of the United States
Army. As a supporter of President Bush, I am technically a soldier, not in the U.S. Army, but if I was drafted, I would be.
Well, first of all, let me tell you something. Let's look at this draft issue. draft went out back in the 60s, and they already said that they would never reinstate the draft.
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever volunteer your time to be a soldier?
First of all, no, I haven't, because I was against a lot of the wars that America was in.
Okay, then not to say anything about anything against one of our previous presidents, but, you know, that just makes you just as good as Bill Clinton burning his draft card, you know, Bill Clinton being over there when he was 21, burning the United States flag. That makes you just as much as a draft dodger as anybody else that dodged a draft. How do you get a thank you?
I supported President Bush. First of all, I'd like you to answer me this question. Steve, my husband said, we got him. Those are the exact words that Paul Bremer used. Now, I find
We got him. The United States got him. But you were not there. You don't personally get a thank you. I don't personally get a thank you. Those soldiers that risk getting shot going to that hole, when they pulled that styrofoam away, you know, he had a loaded pistol. He could have very well have opened fire and killed our brave men.
Joe,
but he didn't.
Joe, we all could have been killed. I could have been killed. You could have been killed.
How
the heck could you have been killed?
Because we were standing right with that young man.
You were standing at a you were standing at a construction site with your homeowners association. The only way you would have gotten killed is if Saddam Hussein had hired one of your construction workers to drop a beam on your head.
You know something, you're very funny. But the jealousy of the people that were not there to pull him out of that hole, you'd almost think that you're with them. Are you with them or against them?
Wait a minute. Joe, I think, is in favor of capturing Saddam Hussein.
Oh, absolutely.
And a supporter of the president's.
Well, then why are you fighting me? I'm not the enemy.
Because you're the one looking for personal gratification for work that you did not personally do.
Well, I don't know what you're talking about. I could have been over there. If I'd enlisted, I could have been there.
And you know what?
Do you agree with that?
If you had personally enlisted and you had personally gone over there, by all means, I'd be sitting down with a pen and paper right now thanking you for doing your job.
Then
but I'm not going to send you a letter or a postcard in your mailbox.
Well, then you're wrong. You're just wrong.
Bill Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
Yeah, Bobby, you deserve a thank you because you could have been drafted. And if you had been drafted, well, you could have been over there. And if you had been over there, you could have been the one that was pulling away the styrofoam. And if you had been the one pulling away the styrofoam, you could have been the one shot. So you could have. Bobby Dooley on the Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686, on the 23rd of December. Right after our broadcast, we're going out to the Block at Orange at 20 City Boulevard West in Orange to Dave and Buster's, a really fun place where adults could go and relax and blow off some steam and have some fun with video games, and you don't have to drag your punky little kids with you so they can go, why can't we go? It's meant for kids. Well, no, it's not meant for kids. It's meant for adults, so go pound sand. You can come on along, baby. And if you are under 21, well, okay, maybe you can get in if you have a 25-year-old really hot-looking chaperone, but only if. Everybody that shows up will get a free game card worth $5. It's where the 22 meets the 5, December 23rd from 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. That's the same day, of course, we do our webcast of the Dumbass of the Year Awards. And you, in order to see that webcast, you have to have a backstage pass. Now, I want to tell you, because if I don't give you enough advance notice, people are going to get really angry. In order for you to see the once-a-year and once-a-year-only webcast of the Phil Henry Show, which will be on December the 23rd, where we do our Dumbass of the Year Award and a whole bunch of other stuff, you must have a backstage pass. That means you have to log on to www.philhenryshow.com. That's www.philhenryshow.com. You have to log on, you got to get a hold of that backstage pass, and that will access everything on our site. You can buy a one-month pass, you can buy a six-month pass. I suggest you buy it 6 months, because you can do it 1 month at a time, but it costs more money that way. You can buy a year pass, but whatever you do, make sure that you get it before our webcast on the 23rd, because it's the only way that you're going to be able to see a webcast that we only do once a year, and I'll tell you why. Most people put a camera on their radio show, and it's dull to look at. It's just some guy sitting there talking. And we do a lot of that. But we also do an aspect of our program which involves characters and a lot of theatrics, and people come from miles around to watch, and we thought, well, if they're going to do that, we might as well start charging the big change. So that, if they're going to do that, well, why don't we make it available to them on the website? So that's what we're doing. You will not be able to see it unless you have a backstage pass, and we only do it once a year. And there are reasons why we only do it once a year. Frankly, if it was up to me, I wouldn't put our radio show on TV at all. I wouldn't put it on TV at all. Radio is radio, baby. It's something you listen to. It's not something you watch. But people have clamored to see what the show. I got people calling me and writing me, can we come and watch you do your show, Phil? Can we come and watch you do your show? I don't know if you can come. We're going to have to talk to Janice. You got to talk to Chris. You got to talk to some of the heavyweights here. I don't know. Well, we really want to come and watch and see your show. All kinds of people. Movie stars. Television stars. Weathermen. Garbage collectors. Authors. Prostitutes. Celebrities of every stripe. They want to come in here and they want to watch this show. And I always say the same thing. Well, I don't know if you should. Until finally we decided, how about a webcast? We'll only do it once a year. Some radio shows you can flip it on and you can see that webcast all the time. And who cares? They're not doing anything anyway. So I finally relented and I said, all right, I tell you what. Let's do a webcast once a year. We'll do it in the Christmas season. And we will charge the incredibly low price of $6.95 to see it. That's about the cost of a movie. And I guarantee you'll see something you've never seen before. That's a guarantee. Movies, you pretty much know what they're about. It's a thing up there on a screen, a bunch of people talking, a lot of explosions, somebody morphing occasionally, someone, having sex occasionally, someone stabbing someone. It's pretty much the same experience, right? My show, you've never seen before in your life. So $6.95 gets you the first ever webcast of the Phil Henry Show. And I'd like to talk another 20 minutes about it, but people are telling me, it's boring. It's boring. Okay, so let's move along. 1-800-449-8686, The Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Word this afternoon that Michael Jackson has joined the Nation of Islam. The Nation of Islam is the primary, in the United States at least, the primary Islamic organization of African Americans, certainly. I know there are many. I don't know the other Islamic groups in this country, but Nation of Islam is a organization of so-called Muslims, and when I say so-called, I'll tell you why in a second, that is the most identifiable, I guess, in this country. And Michael Jackson's joined the Nation of Islam. Now, I don't know, and I'm going to be fair here, I don't know if, like, for instance, the prominent American Muslims that we hear about, let's say, for instance, Muhammad Ali. I know he had early contact with Malcolm X. I don't know if Muhammad Ali is an actual Nation of Islam member any longer, or if he is just Muslim. The same goes for Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. The same goes for, you know, the guys that I'm thinking of, the athletes that we know about. But let me tell you something about this Nation of Islam. This is some kind of an organization. Let's say this. I'll just put it down to this, all right? Nation of Islam believes that the white man is evil, all right? And that's fine. But you can kiss my ass. I'm a white man. So all of you cats in Nation of Islam can kiss it out on Main Street if that's what you believe, right? So in other words, you say you don't dig me and you got good reason not to dig me. And I understand that you have good reason not to like white people, okay? I understand that it's like bad. But you call me evil, well then you're my enemy too. How about that? Okay, now we understand each other. So wear your stupid bow tie, pass out your stupid newspaper, and believe the idiotic things that you believe, and I'll just continue to do my job, which is to make fun of you. Now get a load of this. You're going to think I'm kidding, but I'm not. Among the things that Elijah Muhammad taught, see, Nation of Islam was founded by a white guy. Did you know that? Yeah, it was founded by a white guy. A guy by the name of a cat by the name of, Wallace Fard Muhammad. Now, he'd come to the United States and changed his name to Wallace Ford, but he was a Kurd. He wasn't African. He wasn't African-American. He was actually of Kurdish descent. Now, this guy came to the States, and there is reason to believe that he was some kind of a con man. But in any event, let's just say he wasn't. He met this Elijah Muhammad, whose real name, I think, was like Willie Brown. I don't know. I mean, it was, you know. And together, he instructed this Elijah Muhammad in the so-called universal order of things from the beginning of the divine creation. Now, upon the so-called master's departure, Mr. Fard's death in 1934, Elijah Muhammad began to spread the Nation of Islam philosophy. Now, one of the things that they believe, Elijah Muhammad's mythology, that the whole world at one time was populated only by black people. Now, that may be true. We know that man emerged from Africa. We know that primitive man emerged from Africa. And if you're to look into a mirror, if you're white and you look into a mirror, what you're looking at is what happens to the African face after it leaves Africa for about, you know, several million years. I mean, honestly, that way, if you look in the mirror, you're looking at an African face that has been away from Africa for a long time. That's what happens. Our noses pinch up tight. Our skin gets whiter, our eyes get bluer, our hair gets, you know, and our penises get smaller. Now, another thing, I'm joking. Come on, can't I play into some of those myths? Can't I just do a little bit of that? Or are you going to go run off and tell mommy again? God. I'm fooling around, all right? But no. So anyway, Nation of Islam, and the reason I'm talking about this is because Michael Jackson joined Nation of Islam. Elijah Muhammad taught that, and this Wallace Fard, who was the founder, taught that the world was populated by blacks until a black scientist who was possessed by Satan, this black scientist was known as Yaqub, sometimes known as Yaqub the little big-headed scientist, because he was smaller and he had a large head. He invented white people. So blacks were just everywhere. Everywhere was blacks. We, white folks, were invented by this little, large-headed cat named Yaqub, who was nuts. He was possessed by the devil. He invented whites. Now, how did he invent the white man? He invented white people by crossbreeding the light-skinned blacks until their offspring were completely starched, bleached white. When Yaqub's experiments were discovered, so the teachings go, he and his white-grafted devils, which is what the Nation of Islam refers to white people as, white grafted devils, were exiled to the Caucasus Mountains, which is that mountain range in Western Asia, to the Caucasus Mountains. And from there, they conquered Europe and then the rest of the world. So Yaqub was possessed by the devil, invented whites, we kicked ass, and we enslaved blacks. Now, this guy, Wallace Muhammad, also changed around the Muslim holidays. He moved Ramadan from the Georgian calendar month of September, and he added another day called Savior's Day, commemorating the cat that he basically kicked out, Wallace Fard. And they don't have other Muslim practices in Nation of Islam, like women being veiled. They have chairs. You don't sit on the floor when you're in a mosque like you do when you're in a regular mosque, things like that. So they Americanized and kind of weirded out Islam. Now, this is what Michael Jackson's going to join. And it's fine. Do whatever you want to do, Michael. I still think you're an innocent man. I think you're falling in with a real gang of nuts. If you can I just say this? Yeah, I know. You've sat around and they're brothers and you've talked to them and they're black people and they understand you better than me, which is very true. But I think I don't think I'm running far afield when I say, when you fall in with these guys are crackers. They're goofy, they're whacked, they're at the Laughing Academy. Bow ties and grafted big-headed scientists? Come on! Dude! Look, I know. And you know what, man? They like to get celebrities. I mean, they brought in Muhammad Ali. I mean, they like to get the celebrities because it gets other folks to join, right? But the fact of the matter is, I mean, with that skin that you got, that whole bleached out look of yours, they may think you're Yaqub, the grafted freaky little devil. Michael, I know you feel alone, man, and nobody believes in you except your own people, and I can understand that. But I'm just telling you, Nation of Islam, these guys are cuckoo with a capital coup. Real Wiggy, baby. I mean, they're real different. Oh, they're interesting, man. They're real different. A big-headed guy, he invented white folks, we moved up to the Caucasus Mountains, and from there we kicked ass. We conquered the earth. Where's Yaqub today? A little big-headed guy like that? You got it, Regis Philbin. Now I'm... Where? Where is a small, big-headed black man? Emmanuel Lewis. Now I... Gotta go. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.